Today, you guys, I want to thank you for tuning back in. I have a special guest. I've been following this young man for some time over on Instagram. He is a phenomenal artist. For those of you that follow him, you already know this. You don't need me to tell you. Today, I have Sean Stevens, a.k.a. Art Attacks. How are you doing today?
Doing pretty good.
That's good. That's good. So I just want to get it out of the way, and I want to thank you for helping me. I don't know if you remember, this was back probably December or so. November, December.
Oh, yes, 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 I remember.
Yes. Brother, you don't even know how much you helped me. I got Procreate and I was like, where do I start? Why does this look like crap? Why did I waste my money? And I reached out to so many artists. Nobody would assist me. All I wanted to know is how to have a straight line. That's all I wanted to know. I'm not trying to steal your clients or your whatever. And I reached out to you and you were the only one was like, hey, I'm going to try to explain. So you know what? I'm going to step it up a notch. I'm going to send you some videos. I was like, this brother don't even know. And that's how I've been drawing them out using Procreate ever since.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I think the reason I at least try to help people on that, because I've always encountered problems with certain programs. And then when I go searching for the solutions, like everybody's just like shut down and you know that they know.
Yeah.
They're just like, nah, whatever, get out of here. Or they'll put up a tutorial video and they'll explain it so fast that you won't know what the heck happened. Exactly. And it's like really frustrating.
Exactly. Or they want to charge you.
I guess charging is a funny thing because I know there's a couple of tutorials I've seen for charges. Mm-hmm. I think the only thing I would actually justify charging for is like maybe if like somebody wanted to buy like a high-res file and pick apart like certain pieces that I've done, but like advice on like how to like work the program, I don't feel like that should really be charged per se.
Yeah, because I didn't think, you know, me not knowing, I didn't think that was an in-depth question. The way you presented it to me was very in-depth, but you tell me, did you think like that was, oh, I should charge her because I got to tell her ABCDEFG, this is some knowledge I need to charge for?
Not at all, because that same information I think I got on Instagram Live, mm-hmm, from one of my followers. Okay. And they're like, oh, do this, it does this. And I'm like, oh, okay. So it's like I got the information for free. Why should I bother being like, oh, you know what? I'm going to charge everybody for this secret information that I got from somebody in public.
Like, yeah. And I know, you know, we live in an age of Google, and I even searched the Procreate help guide. I was like, no, that's not what I'm looking for. That's not what I'm looking for. And I was like, I'm just going to try to reach out to good natured people. And it took me a while, but I found you.
Oh, well, I'm glad that I could help, you know, because I know the struggle out there. There's still stuff about Procreate that I actually don't understand.
Oh, yeah. Like that animate feature. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm going to leave that to the pros.
I don't know if you saw that little animation that I did. I tried it. I wasn't originally going to do it because in my head I was just like, "Yeah, this is intense." So, but I tried it. It was a girl blinking, and then when her eyes open up, like her mouth opens to vampire teeth.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yes, glowing. Yeah, that took me about 6 hours.
Damn. See, no, I'm good. I'll just let you be great.
I will say that I'm not. I mean, that was me being a noob. Like, I've never animated anything in my life. I'm pretty sure there's another artist who would literally do that in an hour, like, with no problem.
Yeah, but you know, that's everything in life. When you first start out, it takes freaking forever. And then once you get it, that's it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, basically, I brought you on the show because I wanted to know the person behind the artist? Because you seem like a really cool dude. Just from what I was saying, you were helpful. You didn't have to be. So I was interested in finding out more about you. So what I was hoping is that you could tell me, like, who you are. Tell me about how you got to where you are now.
Let me see. Once upon a time, no. I actually started drawing, like, super early in art. And my earliest memories, well, you know, every kid does art.
Yes.
But yeah, they'll end up, like, you know, drawing on walls. I don't remember recalling drawing on walls, but I'm pretty sure that I did. And I think it was when the Ninja Turtles first came out back in, oh man, I'm old. When was that?
Well, shit, if you're old, I'm old.
Yeah, so I just turned 40 last month, so.
Welcome, I'm also 40.
So you'll know all these references then. It was like when Ninja Turtles first, the cartoon.
Yes.
First, and I remember seeing it on TV, and that was like the most amazing thing to me. And I just took up a piece of paper and started drawing what I saw on screen. Like, I'll just look up, look back down, keep drawing. So my mother saw this, went to my father, was like, I think our son is trying to be an artist. So then they kind of urged me to be like, hey, do you want to go to this art course or this art class, after school thing? Eventually, I ended up going into art and design here in New York.
Okay.
High School of Art and Design, and learned quite a bit there, mostly from other students, funny enough, some from some teachers. I had like one or two good teachers, and then I went to Fashion Institute of Technology after that. So basically, I guess that's how I got into art, but I've always had a love for comic books and anime, which influenced my style a great deal.
Yeah.
Which explains like the art.
So with the Ninja Turtles, so basically that's 80s cartoons. Were there any other 80s cartoons that inspired you?
Oh man. I kind of missed them all. Thundercats, Ninja Turtles, Silverhawks.
Yes.
Transformers was a big one.
Oh yeah. All of those. It was like a madhouse. He-Man, She-Ra, Jim and the Holograms. That was my thing. That's what got me. I had like sketchbooks full of Jim and the Holograms.
Oh, I remember Jim. They even had those cartoons that nobody watched, and I still try to watch them.
Yeah.
Like Dinosaurs. Yeah. Nobody remembers. I assure you. But I thought like it was like, I thought it was pretty cool. Oh, and there was one called Botsmaster.
I don't remember that one.
You do? Okay.
No, I don't remember that one. What was that one about?
It was like this, it was about this guy. It was such a long time ago. You're going to have, because it's like one of those cartoons that it wasn't very popular. It came on a channel like I don't remember the actual network, but let's say something like TBS or something like that.
Okay.
Like on Saturday morning. But it was about a guy who like had robot friends, would fight like opposing robots or whatever. It's not really like it wasn't really like Transformers because they don't transform, but it was basically robots and a guy fighting another batch of robots, to my knowledge that I remember.
Okay, because it's starting to sound like another one where this, I guess they were people inside of a video game and they were fighting viruses inside the game. I don't remember.
I'm not familiar with that one, but I can only imagine because the 80s were so filled of different cartoons. It's Cops. I almost forgot about Cops. What was it? Bulletproof was the leader. I remember all the characters.
Yeah, and see, I can vividly see characters, but I can't remember names.
Yeah, I only remember names because I remember some names. I probably won't remember all of the Transformers, except for like Optimus Prime, Bumblebee, Hot Rod, Ultra Magnus, and the popular ones. But there was a lot of information shocked into those cartoons back in the day. But mainly those influenced me in the 80s, and then after that, anime came around.
Oh, yes. So what was your gateway drug into anime?
This is going to sound really stereotypical, but it was Dragon Ball.
I think that was everybody's.
Probably, specifically Dragon Ball Z. I haven't actually sat down to watch Dragon Ball to this day. But I remember it was in high school and we had like this art fair.
Okay.
And somebody brought in some TVs and they were playing tapes on it. And I just remember it was like Goku versus Cell. And I looked at it and I was like, what the heck is this? Because I was used to American comics where it's like, you know, Superman fighting the bad guys. And it's like, whatever. But never before have I seen anything displayed the way it was displayed there. And I'm like, yo, that dude just like flew through a mountain and then got up like nothing happened.
Nothing happened. Exactly.
It was so amazing to me that I had to like go and hunt down everything and then started with Fist of... Then, I mean, Dragon Ball was the gateway, but then it was like because you know anime. It's like, yeah, this is cute until you find real anime and get traumatized.
Yes. Because the one that traumatized me was Vampire Hunter D. I think that was the next thing I saw.
Oh, I remember that. They used to give that on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah.
Vampire Hunter D was pretty traumatized. And years later, it was Vampire Hunter D, Bloodlust. Dragon Ball, for me, was Fist of the North Star. That was pretty traumatized.
Yes, it was. Because you go from, like you said, American cartoons. Nobody really gets hurt. Nobody surely bleeds. Everybody goes to jail. All the bad guys go to jail. No, anime, everybody dies gruesomely.
Right. Horribly. And you just look at it like, and you're thinking like, I shouldn't be watching this. And then you keep watching it.
Exactly. And it was always like that guilty pleasure. Like, I know I shouldn't be watching this. If my mom comes in, she's going to lose her shit. But my mom was pretty damn cool. She was like, oh, and that was when Blockbuster, video was around. And she was like, yeah, let's go rent VHS back then. Let's go rent you some anime VHS. And I lived for that. So that was like, I didn't get allowance. I got to rent anime.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. I kind of had to sneak it. Well, I mean, by the time I kind of got into it, my parents were, they were great. But they would, when Mortal Kombat came out, they weren't having it. Let's just say
that. Yeah.
Until like years later when I was like a teenager. And then they decided to buy me Mortal Kombat 1 for the PC. And I was like, wait, I can play this now?
Yeah.
I'm like, they're kind of up to Mortal Kombat 2 and 3 now, but okay. I kind of had to sneak it in. And I remember watching Fist of the North Star and feeling bad because I watched it and I was like, this is pretty cool. But my sisters, who are 6 and 7 years apart from me, mm-hmm. younger, were watching it with me. And I was just like, put it on. I was like, oh.
This ain't for you.
And they digested it and grew up to be fully functional adults. So I was like, okay, well, we survived. Fist of the North Star, then it was Akira, then it was everything else. And yeah.
Yeah.
So most of my influence is basically 80s cartoons and 80s to 90s anime.
Yes, same here.
Right.
Oh, man. Well, I can see how a lot of those interests like brought you to the forefront, like as of today, in the present. Because that's a lot of, what do I want to call it? That's a lot of content that we've been holding in for years, and it has to be released some type of way. So you found the perfect release. So all of your art, beautiful art. I was like, oh, this is so great. Oh, and it's a brother. I'm in love. So tell me, like, as far as Instagram, how did you get into this line of work? Because you do commissions, correct?
I do commissions here and there. I don't do as many as I should, only because life has kind of been stressful as of the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm actually starting, like, recently, especially when we talked about coming on here, to start to get back into commissions. I just saw one that you probably just saw me completing there, and I have about 2 more probably lined up.
Okay.
So, yeah, I want to start getting my head back out there and start doing, like, more lives, like, you know, Instagram Live and Twitch and stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah, speaking of your Twitch, so when did you start that back up?
I actually had a Twitch ever since I had a PS4, which was like a good couple years ago.
Okay.
But I didn't really do anything with it. And I didn't really think that it would be a good place for artists because I know it's mostly gaming.
Mm-hmm.
And even game from time to time, it's like I obviously want to take up most of my time doing art.
Yeah.
And then it dawned on me, my friend Adriana, who actually lives in Atlanta, she started up a Twitch and she was urging me. She was like, why don't you start one up?
Yeah.
And I was like, what? I'm like, well, I guess I could go into my old Twitch. And then I had a Kickstarter a while back. I don't know if you know about this because I have 2 projects, which I guess I'll get into later.
Yeah.
And I went to tell my backers, like, hey, you know what? I'm going to be on Twitch to give you guys updates if you want to go there. And that's how I basically got back into Twitch, just to, like, get out of my own art block and start to get myself out there. So it's been pretty cool. I mean, it's 30 followers so far, which is pretty cool for the past 2 weeks or so.
Yeah, I follow. I haven't had time to watch because I'm so busy. But I follow. I show the love.
Yeah, Twitch is kind of, like, funny, too, because Twitch is, like, a different monster altogether because mm-hmm. people are used to long streams.
Mm-hmm.
I guess because of, like, people always do speed runs and stuff like that. I don't know how it goes for artists, but I think people are literally used to like 3-hour to 6-hour streams. Like they'll just like tune in, tune back out, come in, come back out. Yeah. But I did my longest stream today, which was like 2 hours or so.
What? So what hour did you do on that?
I worked on 2 comic pages, and I did like a little. One of my followers asked me about like how do I handle lighting from different light sources. Mm-hmm. So I kind of took an old piece and then shaded it just to show him like how to handle it.
Okay, I'm sorry that I said that, but I will start tuning in because I get the notifications.
Trust me, I know it's fine because I'm. You know, I don't know. I don't always expect anybody to tune in. Also, because I don't have a schedule, which yeah. I know Twitch benefits from you telling them, like a TV show. Like, listen, I'm going to be on Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday at so and so time. So I literally have to develop that kind of schedule and set time so that people will know when to tune in. And I figure, like, I'll get more of a, you know, it'll be a little more consistent for people.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that one day. I'm like, I'm trying to get back into this in April. Y'all hear me when y'all hear me. I'm a grown-ass adult. I got other obligations.
No, that's how it is. It's just, trust me, I look the same way. So it's like, yo, I got stuff to do.
Yeah. Like, you know? Yeah, y'all bitches just keep the notifications on, basically.
Right, right. Like, when you're not a full-time artist, it's kind of difficult.
Exactly. Okay, so like artists, you were talking about your friend in Atlanta. What are some names of fellow artists that inspire you?
I'm trying to remember off the, like any artist, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, it's just any artist.
I know, well, I guess we'll go back in time again. One of the first artists that influenced me, probably influenced everybody that was into comics in the 90s was Jim Lee.
Yes.
Tom McFarlane, of course. And then once my influences started getting a little more, I guess, anime influence, mm-hmm. I started really getting into like Joe Madureira, mm-hmm. who actually started changing his style while he was in Marvel and then fully got into whatever his style looks like right now when he did Battle Chasers and Image.
Yes, that was one of my favorite comics in college.
Yeah, I loved it. I know he never finished it, but I know he came out with a video game like a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
a role-playing game. I still have yet to go buy that just to check it out. Other artists... there's a lot of manga artists. Manga, I don't know. Potato, potato. Hiroki Samura, I'm probably butchering all of these names.
It's okay.
Who were on a comic book, a manga called Blade of the Immortal.
Mm-hmm.
Kino Nishimura, who was an artist for Capcom. A lot of Capcom artists inspired me, actually. If I go through Instagram, there's a ton, and I'm probably not going to remember all the names. Art Germ.
Oh, yeah.
AKA Stanley Lau, Loish. Man, I draw a blank on a lot of those artists because they come through my feed at such a, because I follow a lot of them, and they come through at such an aggressive pace.
Yeah, because like, you know, you may not always remember the names, but you know the style, so you can see it anywhere. Like if I saw one of your right. images on Pinterest, I would know it's your art because I know your style.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it is for me with I'm definitely butchering his name, and if he ever hears this podcast, I'm sorry, bro. Kawanowski, and I don't know what his real name is. I know he's an Asian artist, that I know.
Okay.
And there's another. There's a girl, her name is Orange Ski,
mm-hmm.
guy, something like that. But yeah, like I said, I know them mostly by face. Okay. But yeah, there's a ton of artists that definitely inspire me.
Yeah, and it's so many. Like I started following you, and then I started, you know, they have the suggested artists you may like when you follow somebody, and then it just was like a floodgate after that. So right. I'm like, exactly. If somebody asked me right now, I'm like, I don't know. I don't remember their names. I just remember your name. Because you helped me. It's a significance there. I'm like, just go through my feed of who I follow and you'll figure it out. So can you tell me about your creative process? So do you have like character mainstays that you redraw in different scenarios, or do you just images and characters just off the top?
So, I mean, well, you know about the Red Aside from Fairy Tale because you purchased one of those. My my art partner, Daniel Velez, is actually working on volume 2 right now.
Okay.
So that's like its whole universe. What I'm working on right now is called Metal Legion. That's what I ran the Kickstarter for, which was a while ago, and it got held up for too many reasons. But I'm still working on it. So basically, I have the pages laid out. I'm filling them in. I'm getting them done. So basically, when you say scenarios, basically the scenarios would be just the storyline that I have, obviously, like the script written down and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to get through like that issue, do the next issue. I have a whole arc. You know, a small arc plan, and then if people like it, you know, I'll keep, you know, doing it after that. So basically, I guess you could say I am creatively involved in two different titles.
Okay.
But artistically, I'm just doing the one Metal Legion at the moment.
Okay. So you, I mean, you brought up Red. I did purchase that. And I was between jobs, let's just say that. So I started reading and I stopped. I started back last night. I'm halfway through it. So it's called Red, a Cyberpunk Fairy Tale. Could you give like a brief synopsis on what that's all about?
Oh, okay. So basically, it's the fairy tale of Red Riding Hood, but placed in exactly what it says, a cyberpunk setting, in which she is she's a bodyguard, a hired bodyguard for certain clients working for a corporation called the Canis Corporation. Throughout the story, like this terrorist group kind of like starts wreaking havoc throughout the city, mm-hmm. and there's a whole theory behind that she has to uncover, like, why this is happening. I guess I probably shouldn't give away more than that because I guess it'll be spoilers. Red Riding Hood. In this cyberpunk setting, she's she was an orphan, so the grandma character is in there. She the grandma's the one who raised her, and then she like went off on her own to join the corporation and become a bodyguard. They gifted her with like, you know, gene therapy and stuff like that. So when you get the book, you'll be able to see her do, you know, quite a few amazing things and so on.
Yeah, because when I first got it in the mail and I just saw the cover, I'm like, this looks like somebody paused an anime and screenshot it. Like, it's just that dynamic. The images, the scenes, the fight scenes, just the paneling, all of it is phenomenal. So kudos to you.
So for that book, I drew about 35% of it or so, because I have some pages in the middle, and then my friend Daniel, he drew the rest of it. Because at that time I started branching off to do Metal Legion because we wanted to, you know, have like, you know, a book each or so.
Yeah, that's cool. So where can people find Red Riding Hood?
Oh, okay. So it's going to be www.redcomicbook.com.
Okay. Yeah,
and so they can purchase it right there.
Yeah. Okay. So and you said you were currently working on something. So if you can, tell me like a brief synopsis on that project.
Oh, on Metal Legion? So Metal Legion... I guess people would say it's okay. So it's sci-fi still, but it's different because whereas Red is told in a society that is basically, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's seedy, it's crime ridden and everything, but they have a functioning society. Metal Legion is society broken. They're not connected in any way either. So Metal Legion is basically post-apocalyptic. It's society like it's been stripped down, and it's running. Its world is basically inhabited by these beings, these biomechanical. What people see them as gods. They kind of just run the earth with like in tyranny, and everything is just kind of chaos. And it's starring these two kids named Wes and Kira. So basically, one day, one of their lands kind of gets raided. Their whole family dies off, and they meet as they struggle to survive, they meet this guy who kind of just repairs them and gives them cybernetic armor. And now they're just kind of going on an adventure until they encounter the same forces that killed off their family. And then that's where the story picks up, where that event happens. Basically, they're all fixed up. They've been slightly trained or whatever, and like trouble is now coming to the new land that they took are residing in, and they have to figure out what it is that they're going to do.
Okay, cool. I love futuristic cyberpunk, how they are meld together, you know, the old with the new. So I love that type of genre.
Right.
Yeah.
So this one is I will say Metal Legion is, I guess, a little more chaotic.
Okay. Like Terradome.
Okay. Exactly. It's very Mad Max inspired. I want to say it's a mixture of if you were to take Mad Max and meld it into something like, let's say, Metal Gear Rising.
Yeah.
You know, with hardly anybody played that game, but I thought it was pretty cool. So it's that kind of post-apocalypse setting, kind of with the power levels of like a high octane kind of not quite One Punch Man, but sort of there. Yeah, so that's basically what that's about.
Okay, cool. What are some of your future goals? What would you like to work on in the future?
Man, I guess I have a lot of goals, and I'm kind of just getting in tune with them now because, you know, sometimes when you write down your goals, you have so many in your head, you can't really organize them.
Mm-hmm. Too many tabs open.
Right. Exactly. Too many tabs open. I have that problem when I use the computer. I've actually started to try to like limit that. I'm like, yo, let me stop opening like 8 million tabs and search for one thing.
You'd be like, why is it freezing? Because you got like 80 tabs open.
Right, exactly. old computer. I literally had to go through the desktop, and I was like, why is the entire desktop full of icons? This needs to get out of there. So the same thing I have to do with my head, because, I mean, if you would have asked me, like, way back what my goals were, it'd be like one of those stereotypical goals, which I actually don't find anything bad with. Like, oh, I want to draw my own anime. Like, nobody draws their own anime. They have a team. You know, things like that. I want to have a comic book with, like, a universe of 300 characters. No, you can't. So, you can't make Marvel Comics by yourself, you know.
Yeah.
But what I would like to do is to at least get, like, at least one of my properties to really pick up and be successful if something comes of it. Because, I mean, quite frankly, we have seen more independent animes happen nowadays, especially with Netflix. We've seen Cannon Busters happen. We've seen Seis Manos. We've seen... Even I'd even count the Castlevania, because that was done by that. What's this guy's name? Addy? I'm gonna get his name wrong, so I'm not gonna.
Yeah, I know I will too, but I know what you mean.
So I would say, like, a goal like that, even like getting some, like the tip top, like getting something on Netflix, like that would be a nice goal. I'm not gonna sit here and on, you know, on live action movie, even though that would be pretty cool. I'd want to know who's directing it though.
Yeah, but yeah, you had to start somewhere, and Netflix is hungry for content. Like brand new content now. So they're sucking up everybody's creations. So that would be awesome.
Right, right. So it's like I'm still trying to make my goals realistic, but still trying to, like, remain optimistic at the same time. So right now my current goal is just basically getting this comic book done, getting it out to the people, seeing if they're receptive to it, and getting my exposure out there, be it Instagram, Twitch, YouTube. I'm hardly on YouTube, but you know.
Yeah, me too. So... we talked about comic books. We talked about anime. What are your top three comic book or anime characters of all time, old or new?
Oh, man. Hold on. Like, 80 people just popped in my head. You said anime or cartoons?
Or anime, cartoons, comic books, just the ones, the main three that, like, stand out.
Ugh, if you were to ask Sean from the teenager, I probably would have told you Wolverine, Batman, and somebody else. I'm probably forget, maybe Punisher or something. Okay. You know, the mainstay angsty people.
Yeah.
I would, to be honest, I still have a soft spot for Pistol Norristar.
Yeah.
One after that, I was gonna say D from Vampire. I mean, he's cool and all, he's just very kind of like,
and see, the main thing about the two of them, they're like visually different characters, but similar in the fact that they are badass. They will kill you with no question, but they give you a chance. Like, I don't have to kill you. You can walk away. But, oh, okay, you bad? Well, I wanted you to live another day, but I'm just going to have to take you out.
Right, exactly. It's funny because you know what's making me have trouble is holding it with video games also. So it's like there's video game characters like floating in my head. So I said Kenshiro.
Yeah.
No, not Shinji. Shinji's too much of a punk. Shinji from Neon Genesis. I'm gonna search up anime to find. You might want to come back to this question and I'll let you know.
Oh yeah, that's cool, because like I feel you, it's just a flood, especially if you've been watching anime since like the 90s. I've been watching anime since mid-90s, so you just like, it's so many, how can I just choose three?
Right exactly, because it's like, to be honest, actually no, I'll give you my second one, and everybody's gonna be like, oh really, Vegeta? But I mean, I could I know Dragon Ball is not like the deepest, storyline of all time. Yeah. I feel like Vegeta should have really been the main character of Dragon Ball by now, only because he's one of the few ones in the series that actually have significant character development.
Exactly, because he's always in perpetual, I don't know, angst with himself, trying to be better than Kakarot. And I'm like, that's a story all by itself. Like, I keep, this dude is just lucky and gets better. I work my ass off and I get 1% better. So he should be like either suicidal or like a criminal mastermind at this point. Like, he should be one to get rid of Kakarot.
Right. Well, I mean, it's funny because, I mean, he started criminally insane.
Yeah.
Like, he wanted to kill the whole planet, and then all of a sudden he's helping, and then all of a sudden he has a wife, then all of a sudden he's a father, then he's a good father somehow. Like, it's
and that's the twist of it all. It was like, because he wanted to, you know, have a family, did that make him weak? And I think he kind of thinks that, but I'm like, yeah, don't be like Goku, because he's crap. He's trash. He don't stay with his wife. He don't stay with his kids. It's all about their power.
You agree with me on that, because I tell people this all the time. Like, Goku is trash. He's a horrible person. Yeah. Like,
He's and sweet, but he's fact, absent-minded.
Right. In fact, I feel like he reached the point of terror of a terrible person in Dragon Ball Super when what's his name? Beerus told him, like, listen, don't go to this tournament. Please don't take the God's Challenge. And he did it anyway and put the whole universe in danger.
I'm yes, like, that's a trash human.
And he had the nerve when he was fighting Jiren at the end to be like, oh, you threatened my friends. Like, bro, you threatened your friends. What do you mean?
You threatened the whole planet.
What are you talking about? But yeah, so Kenshiro, Vegeta, and I'll remember a third before this, you know, podcast interview is over.
Okay, and so the ones you did tell me about, would they happen to inspire any of your art? Like, when you're creating, do any of those characters come into your mind?
I would say, well, Kenshiro definitely, only because of the Fist of the North Star feel.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, the characters that really inspired me visually, funny enough, would be Zero from Mega Man X.
Okay.
And Dante from Devil May Cry.
I can see that. Just the way you shade.
I can't hide that, because that game was like very influential to me, like when it first came out, because I used to love beat 'em ups when I was growing up, like Streets of Rage and uh-huh. stuff like that.
Yeah, I like that
and
game too.
That to me was like the evolution of a beat 'em up, except, you know, it couldn't be two player,
mm-hmm.
like its combat system. So I basically dove into everything that game had to offer. So that influenced me a lot, just the weapons, the look and everything like that, the gothic feel. I mean, there was other games like that, like Ninja Gaiden, but I want to say Devil May Cry influenced me the most as far as like character look.
Okay.
So I'd go with Kenshiro, Zero, and Dante.
Okay. Yeah, you have a theme. You're working a theme. Okay. So what are your thoughts on the recent upswing of interest in black artists in, say, like the last 5 years or so? You know, speaking of like the hashtag Black Artists Matter and hashtag Representation Matters. What do you think contributed to that?
I'm not exactly sure. To be honest, I feel like, I don't know, it's a complicated answer, because I know, like, when I was growing up, there were black, was his name Matt Broom? I'm really gonna feel bad if, you know what, I'm gonna search that, because I remember there was this comic book called DEFCON 4.
I do remember Nobody that. I do remember that.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Right. I know that the artist for that was black.
And there was another group, a comic publishing company. I'm drawing a blank on it right now. But I think they came out in the 90s. That's going to drive me crazy. Oh, okay. I'd have to find that also.
I was correct. Oh, he has an art station too. What are you still doing his stuff? That's cool. So I remember, like, we had comic books like that, like DEFCON 4. And I was like, oh, it's a black guy doing pretty cool art. Because I unfortunately, like, I was very random in my comic book buying back then.
Mm-hmm.
So I only picked up one issue. And then I could never find the other issues.
Yeah.
If they're actually still available, I want to go pick them up. But I remember, like, I really thought, like, DEFCON 4 was pretty cool from what I saw. But getting back to the question, I guess there's been an upswing. I also feel like, and I'm probably going to get heat for even saying this, like, I don't know how many black artists back in the day were at, well, first of all, actually, it was kind of harder to break into comics back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Because before Image Comics, there was really no, like, oh, do my own comic book thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just like, you're Marvel, you're DC, you're Archie, you're Dark Horse, and that's it.
Yeah.
And, like, the whole thing of, like, independent artists trying to get in was very small. And it's, like, only nowadays, especially when you can, like, you know, crowdfund your stuff, that we're seeing, like, more artists. So I think this actually contributes to there being a lot of black artists, because there's a lot more artists now in general of every race.
Mm-hmm.
So now artists are coming forward. Also, we have, like, the internet is, like, more alive than ever before, because it's not dial-up anymore.
Yeah, and it's leveled the playing ground in all aspects in different genres. So even the music business, if you wanted to be a musician, you had to go through the studios. No matter how bad your contract was, this is the only way in if you want in. And it was pretty much the same way if you wanted to do comic books. If you want to go through Marvel or DC, those were like the headquarters. And you don't get to pick your own characters. You're going to draw this character day in, day out. Stick with this story.
Yep. I remember Marvel tried to do some funny stuff. They always used to try. I don't know why they did this, because I felt like telling them, Marvel, you guys only want to do your characters. Stop pretending that you don't. Because remember, there was a point in time where they would do these little side projects, and they'd be like, hey, you could submit your creator-owned project to Marvel,
mm-hmm.
and we'll take. And it'd start off that way, and then, like, halfway through the month, they'd be like, oh, we're changing the policy, we'll own the character. And then, like, by the end of the month, they'd be like, nah, you know what, never mind, we're scrapping this. Just draw Wolverine. I'm like, why did you even bother?
Yeah, and then, like, you can't bring it back out, because it's copyrighted now. Your company owns it.
Right. I mean, that was the whole reason Image started in the first place. Yeah. I remember Tom McFarlane and Jim Lee and all of those, they were like, well, I created Venom, I created Gambit and all those characters that they created. And it was like, they didn't feel like they were getting the proper credit for that, and they just left.
Bounced.
But I definitely feel like leveling the playing field definitely paved the way for like more black artists to come in. Just for the simple reason that it paved the way for many artists to come in. And back in the day, I'm trying to remember what black comics I ever saw. Because admittedly, besides Matt Broome, and there was other artists like Kieron Grant, LaShawn Thomas, but he's more new, I guess. I remember when he was working in Dreamwave doing a combo called Arcanium. Mm-hmm. I bought a couple of issues of that. Oh man, hold on.
But they were far and in between. Now it's just like the floodgates have opened because of the internet.
A lot of the black comics, admittedly, that I used to see back in the day, it'd be like, no disrespect to Wu-Tang, but it'd be like, oh, it's a Wu-Tang comic book. And I'm like, I don't really feel like reading. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, because it was like a cash grab. And I liked Wu-Tang too, but I was like, that's like a cash grab. I just, you know, I want some meaningful characters, you know, mainstays.
Right, exactly. Because it just feels, it's like, I pick it up and it's like, first of all, it's silly because you turn the Wu-Tang Clan members into like Kung Fu Masters, which, okay, that's cute. But then it's like, it just feels very corporate.
Mm-hmm.
As a general story, and I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah.
Nope. Wu-Tang members listening.
That's like, whatever, we rich. We don't care what you're talking about. Yeah, man. But I don't know if you've done any conventions, but if you haven't, do you plan on doing any in the future? Probably not this year, you know, with what's going on. But is that a part of your game plan for the future?
Definitely. I definitely want to do some conventions, especially when I like wrap up like Metal Legion.
Mm-hmm.
And Red Volume 2 is being lettered right now as I speak. So I definitely want to do some conventions once I get like my stuff printed. Hopefully by next year, because I don't, you know, the apocalypse happened this year. And
God, yes. That could be a comic book.
It should be. I feel like I should work this into the Metal Legion story. No, I should. Let me stop.
Okay, so now what I want to do with you, I want to do a lightning round. Okay, are you down for that?
Sure.
Okay, so my first question. If you had $1 million to spend on your art, how would you spend it?
Oh, man. Okay. First, I would buy the biggest, most powerful, reliable drawing tablet I could. Make sure I have a computer system that is able to store as much art as I possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
What else would I get? $1 million. Man, it's kind of tough because I always look at art supplies like, oh, man, it's so expensive. I do mainly digital art now, but I would like to buy a whole set of Copic markers.
Oh, God, yes. Those things are stupid expensive, but they are fabulous.
Right, exactly. Because like, I have a Prismacolors here that I bought like $60. My friend gave them to me. But yeah, a set of Copics would be pretty dope. And some canvases and oil paint, because I haven't done oil painting in quite some time.
Yes.
So that's about $1 million. I mean, I probably wouldn't spend a whole $1 million on art, but if I had $1 million, I would definitely get all of what I just mentioned.
I'm gonna tell you what I see for you with $1 million, okay? We talked about this Netflix deal. I would get you a team of digital artists to start working on these projects and turn them into animes. That's what I would do for you.
You know what? I didn't even see. You're thinking better. I didn't even think that far. I was thinking like personally.
See, sometimes you need a PR team. See, put that money on there.
I literally have another project idea in my head, and I'm like, I can't get it out right now because I literally one person.
Yeah, all you have to do is just create the character design and pass that off to your design team, man. Let me know when you need my services. Okay, so question number two. How would you change how you've acted if you knew 100% that the world was a simulation?
Interesting.
Like if it's The Matrix or this is Inception, you just, for real?
It's funny because I read so much, I read so much on like, you know, things that's going on, not just like what's going on now, that I'd probably, my first reaction would be like, oh, figure. We're in a simulation, but I'm saying like that's probably how to react. The next thing I'd probably do is try to see like how much I could actually survive, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, let's do a little test. Can I punch through this wall if this is fake?
Exactly.
Can I run up the side of this building, you know?
Yeah.
And then after that, I'd probably start telling my friends and be like, hey, did you know this is fake?
They were like, man, you crazy.
Like, yo, I was show you. I will lift up this house right now, bro. Like, I'm. That's probably how I'd react. But then I'd also be cautious because then I'll be like, okay, so if this is a simulation, who's running it?
You just broke through the wall, man.
Yeah. I probably flaunt, but not too much. Because, you know, I'm not trying to get chased by whatever it is that's going to chase.
They're going to Mr. Stevens you.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Oh. I'm chased around by Agent Smith.
Yeah, man. No, you don't want to have that heat. So what cartoon world do you wish you could live in for a week?
For a week.
Yeah. And I say cartoon very loosely. It could be cartoon, anime, video game.
I'm trying to think. Well, I would love to live in a cartoon world where I can actually benefit from it.
Meaning?
I just had two strange examples in my head. Because in my head, I'd be like, well, if I was part of the Dragon Ball universe, at least I could, like, fly around just by, like, learning their, like, how they handle their ki. Yeah. If I could learn that week, that would be pretty cool. Or I could be part of DuckTales and chill with Scrooge McDuck over there.
And you know what? I've always laughed about that. Now that I'm adult, I'm like, okay, when I was a kid and he was swimming in those gold coins, I was like, that is so cool. I'm like, he would have broke every damn bone in his body when he did this swan dive.
He definitely would have. I remember watching an episode of DuckTales, and it was actually very informative because he was explaining the dangers of monetary inflation. I was just like, wait, what?
Yeah. Like knowledge. I was like,
okay. I see you decided to drop some nuggets, Scrooge. Good for you. But I might go with DuckTales. Even if I can't take some of his money, because it is his money after all, I ain't trying to rob the man. He can at least give me some money saving tips, you know.
Heck yeah. Okay, so another question: big party or small gathering?
Small gathering. I'm sure like most artists are going to say that.
Yeah, I think that's the age thing. Like, yeah, when you're younger, you'd be like, yeah, but it's turn up, big party. And I'm like, nah, I'm cool. I'm a Cancer anyway. I just want to stay at the house.
I've always been a shy person growing up.
Yeah.
I've been the typical introverted artist. I only started slightly coming out of my shell in my 30s, to be honest. Like, so basically like 10 years ago.
Yeah, wow.
When people tell me, it's like, to give you an example, if it's the difference between going to a bar or a lounge or going to the club, I'm never going to pick the club.
Yeah, no, I'm over that.
I try to tell people
now that I'm older and I'm wiser, I will be reasonably foolish with just foolish people. Like, I had to flip out because you just a straight fool and I'm a reasonable fool, and look where you took me.
You know what, can I start using that term? Because that is amazing. Reasonably.
Yeah, go ahead. Patent pending, but go ahead.
Even when I try to have fun, that's literally how I am. I'm like, okay, I'll turn up, but I'm not going to turn up to the point that I black out or get in trouble, get arrested, or do something. I'm going to get home.
Yes. You know? I don't understand people like that. Like, you know, this is not forever, right? The party ends, so you still got to have a life after this.
Right. Especially now, I mean, like, I know we're both 40. I mean, people always say I look young or something, but I'm just like, no, I'm 40. I don't have time to. I mean, I never like excessively turned up ever, but it's like if I was going to, the time's over. It's too late.
I mean, it ain't too late till you're dead, but you know. You can have a weekend, a cruise, a vacay, and just let it all hang out and then go back to your regular scheduled programming.
You know what's funny about that? I wanted so bad, because ever since last year, because I went through, many people don't know, or some people know, I went through a loss last year, so that's why my art stopped up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm patient, because I have not stopped. And then this happened.
Yeah. It's like, nope, back to business at the crib. Okay, so what is the best compliment you've ever received?
Wow. Best compliment I've received. I've received a good couple compliments, especially on my art.
Mm-hmm.
I've received some personally, probably ones I can't repeat on air. But art-wise, it's funny because people always take offense. I'll give art compliment. People always take offense to when somebody would say, your character reminds me of so-and-so. And they'd be like, no, it's my own character. I actually love that, especially if it's a character that I actually like. And they're like, that character reminds me of... Like, I remember a while back, and I, for the life of me, I forgot the name of the actual property. But they looked at it as like, oh, this... You know, art reminds me of so-and-so, whatever it was. And I looked it up, and I was like, wow, that is a high compliment. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I guess, like, those are some of the highest compliments I've gotten. To say that I remind the individual about somebody who's already successful in what they're doing, I think is, like, one of the highest compliments I've gotten.
Oh, yeah, that's amazing. So we're finna get into dirt right quick. Hentai or porn?
I would have to say porn.
Oh, my God, okay. I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm hentai all day.
No, it's like, it's funny because I've obviously seen a couple. I was, especially some of the older ones, I'm like, well, first of all, that's animated amazingly.
Exactly. It's the artist's mind first. Like, oh my God, the technicalities of it.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here like, I'm impressed. I'm impressed by it, but, and it looks visually appealing. It looks sexy and everything. I mean, depending on the hentai, because some of it is admittedly too much for me to handle.
Yeah.
For my personal time, I definitely choose porn over hentai.
All right, you old school. Anyway. Okay, and if you could step into my shoes, what would you have asked yourself that I didn't?
Oh, wow. That's a tough one.
Yeah, because only you know, like, the projects you're working on, the babies you're baking for, you know, future right. success.
I'm sure, hold on. You're going to have to forgive me for this one because I'm drawing a blank on it.
It's all good. You know, it's sometimes, you know, people have so much going on in the world, you know, in their careers and their personal goals. Right. I can't know everything. It's not everywhere on social media as much as we'd like to think so. Yeah, but it's all good. But what I do want to know is where can our listeners connect with you online?
Okay, so the best place to connect with me would be, I guess I'm mostly on Instagram because, I mean, I have a Facebook, but I'm never there.
Me neither.
I have a Facebook, like one of those fan pages. Mm-hmm. That thing died like a long time ago. So Instagram, which would be art_attack.x.
Okay. And what's your Twitch?
My Twitch is artattackx, like straight through, no underscores, no dots or anything.
Okay. And is it a website where they can buy your art, your comic books, any merch?
Oh man, hold on. Because actually, I'm gonna make it simple for people. If you just go to my Instagram and go right there on the bio, there's a link. And in the link, it has my Twitch. It has my Redbubble page.
Ah, okay.
Where you can t-shirts. I think I have a couple of art prints. I have quite a bit of things uploaded there, actually. I also have a Patreon, but I kind of haven't, like, uploaded to it, so I'm not going to bother with the Patreon. I actually might take the Patreon down. So, and to buy the comic book, Red, Volume 1, that's out right now, would be redcomicbook.com.
Okay, cool, man. It was good talking to you. I learned a lot. You are not as shy as you said you were.
No, I've kind of broken myself out of that through these past, I want to say, 10 years. Because I assure you, like, when I was, like, 20-something, I would not be able to have this conversation.
Yeah. Kind of recluse, and you're just like, I don't want to share it.
After I got out of college, I just kind of, like, just stayed indoors. And until one day I was like, okay, first of all, I mean, I had a job, but I just, like, come straight home. But I was like, you know, maybe I should just, like, start, I don't know, talking to these human beings.
Since I'm going to be here a minute, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't think I'm going anywhere anytime soon, you know, so I might as well just start talking to people.
Yeah, man. So, yeah,
the shininess has curved a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, well, it was really good talking to you. I hope to do this again in the future, and you are actually a funny dude.
Thank you. Hey, listen, anytime you want to have me back on, just let me know.
All right, then. Take it easy.
All right, you too.
All right.
Sentinel Ridge provides specialized benefit services for cosplayers, content creators, crafters, prop fabricators, comic book stores, writers, and artists. Many of you may be self-employed, full-time creators dedicated to your passions, but often lack access to important health, life, vision, dental, and disability benefits simply due to the overwhelming costs associated with buying benefits. Fortunately, Sentinel Ridge has a solution to this challenge, and we will do the heavy lifting. By creating a large-scale benefit access plan, creators just like you can tap into affordable plans. Think of it as AARP, but for young people. In order for this to work, we will need your help. So this is your Nerd Geek Coalition, Morphin Time, Avengers Assemble, Call the Banners, Ready Photon Torpedoes, All Hands on Deck Call to Action. All you need to do is fill out a simple 5 to 10 minute online survey, which you can access directly on Sentinel Ridge on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, or send an email to surveyrequest@sentinelridgeprotect.com. That's surveyrequest@sentinelridgeprotect.com. You can even send a text to 919-322-8288, 919-322-8288. So text, email, or hit those social media links, and let's change the way that we access benefits with the help from Sentinel Ridge.